saying. That's where I'm heading towards. I'll ask you about that again at the end of the message. I'd like to reiterate what Ralph said, that it's good to be back. Really missed you guys. I think often you only realize how much you miss people and love people and care for them when you're gone for a little while. And I must say that church is really is family to me. And I must say I love church. I've always loved church. Okay, since I came to know the Lord, I love church. But I love you people. And this is truly like family. And it's a bit kind of in that line that I want to be sharing tonight. And the first scripture I want to share with you is found in Matthew 19. It's a repeat of what we read in Genesis. We read there in verse 5 and 6, "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Some translations say cleave to his wife, but there's a grafting there. There's a coming together, almost like a stickiness, and the idea is it's like something that's inseparable. They become one. Verse 6, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." And we spoke a while back about families, you know, the families in the natural, and the fact that families are meant to stick together and to grow together. We are one. There's a unity there. And a cohesion that God has instituted and ordained. And as soon as we step outside of that, as soon as we tamper with what God has joined, as soon as a father abandons his family, as soon as someone is taken away for some reason, or things are not in God's divine order, there is devastation. Only in God's will are we safe. Are we secure? And is there blessing outside of that devastation? And I was so, I was really moved a number of times on outreach, being in Thailand for 2 weeks and away from Charlene, and it was the longest that I've been away from the children. And it was quite challenging sometimes. You have to, you know, swallow hard and fight back the tears when, you know, thank goodness for BlackBerry that made communication quite easy, the free BBMs and voice notes and pictures that could get sent to and fro. And that was quite a challenge for me sometimes, you know. And I mean, it was crazy, you know, the little ones when they're around Christian's age, 2 or 3 years old, they're literally, they're developing and growing and changing day by day. And I saw, like, when I got my first photo of him, maybe a week into the outreach, I'm like, he looks different, you know? I'm like, no, my boy's growing up, you know, and I'm not there. You know, so, yeah, we are meant to stick together. And you realize how much you miss family when you're away from them. And, you know, what goes in the natural often is a reflection of what's in the spiritual. And I want to say that it's very much the same when it comes to our spiritual family. And I went on holiday with my folks in the year after I came to know the Lord and I came back to South Africa, and I really valued my time with them just to be able to show them the new me, you know, and what the Lord was doing in my life. And so I went on holiday with them to the Kalahari. And that was about 3 weeks away from church. And I mean, I was going to church twice on a Sunday, and I was volunteering for the church full time. So I was just, I was around my church family pretty much 24/7. And I was like getting almost withdrawal symptoms and like almost worried I'm going to lose my salvation if I don't, you know, if I'm not at church soon. And you realize that there's an umbilical cord there. There's a connectedness and a cohesion that God has ordained when it comes to church family, and we need it, you know. If you know Jesus as the head of the body, you know that you have to stay connected to him just to make it in this life and just to obviously go to be with Him and inherit eternal life. You need to stay connected to Him. But you realize shortly after that as well that you have just as much a need to be connected to the body. You cannot just be connected to the head and not the body. It's a package deal. Okay, and the church is the body of Christ. The church is those who profess Jesus as Lord all over the world. That is the church of Jesus Christ. We are a local chapter, a local member, part of the body of Christ. But you realize there is a dependence that we have that we cannot survive without. The enemy loves to isolate us, keep us busy, anything just to start driving a wedge between us and the Lord. Because if he has a wedge between us and the church, he's got a wedge between us and the Lord. And I just, tonight, I just have it on my heart just to emphasize that point, that we need to understand we need church. And I know I'm ministering to the choir tonight, to those that are here every Sunday. And that's great. But we need to get the message out. And we need to welcome and draw the prodigals back home to church. Because it is here where our relationship with the Lord gets strengthened. It is here where our faith gets built up. And not just here in this building. I'm talking about in small group as well. And when we fellowship with other believers, you know, that is church, where two or more are gathered in my name. Okay, so we need to get back to church. And this is just one aspect of it, our Sunday services. But we need to stay connected because the enemy loves to isolate. You know, and when you're detached from the body, I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm pretty sure that if someone severs my arm off and it stays detached from my body for a couple of days, it's probably, you know, and it's not on ice or something, it's probably going to find it difficult to reattach it and have its full working function again. I don't know, am I right? I think that's logic. This is meant to be logic. In the same way, if you divorce yourself from the church, the local body, for a couple of weeks or months, you cannot begin to think things are just the same. No, you start dying spiritually, like the arm starts dying and cannot be reattached. Something in you will die. It's not going to be the same. And so we need to get our priorities straight. And I'm trusting the Lord just to reinforce our unity in the local body, because we can pray till we blue in the face for unity in the body of Christ all over the world. If there's not unity in the local church, then we're wasting our time. Because prayer leads to action. Let's make sure that there's unity here in the local body, and then we can start talking about broader unity. Obviously, at leadership level, we are working with other churches. We are building bridges. You know, where in most cases, the more traditional churches have kind of pushed us away and say, you know, we kind of don't belong or whatever. But more and more now, we are getting accepted as a legitimate part of the body of Christ, and a part of the body that has something to offer and that makes a contribution to the mission worldwide. So it's great. We can build bridges and so on. But as members in the church, let us focus on bringing unity in the local body, inside, in our small groups and so on. And when people are missing in action, that we go and call them back. You know, and it's not a numbers game. Don't get me wrong. It's for that person's salvation, first and foremost. It's not, because when I start realizing that me being at church, me being at small group, is not just about what I can get out of it. I do get blessed. But you know what? If it's just about me and what I can get, and it's cold outside, and there's promise of a pizza at home, it will be more tempting to just stay at home, because you're not quite sure what cookies are going to be put out tonight. But if I realize it's not about me, it's about just as much about what I can bring to the small group, who I can go and encourage. Someone out there needs me, because I'm part of the body, and if I'm missing, the body suffers. Then I start getting more of a kingdom mindset and start thinking less of myself and more of the other people, and I start going, even when it would be more cozy to be under the blankets at home. No, then I go. And I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you. And that's something that I'm trusting the Lord. That is one seed that I'd like to deposit of something that I witnessed in Thailand in our outreach there, which turned out to be more of an encouragement and a support of the body of Christ than what it was evangelistic. Okay, we also did minister to unbelievers and Buddhists and so on, but more it was a form of encouragement to the local church. And we visited the, you know, missionaries and their church groups in the various towns where we went. And but I saw an aspect of church life that I was really almost provoked to jealousy. And the one church on Kosi Chang, near, it's about a 45-minute ferry trip just off the coast. And for us, it was plain sailing. Johan and Tanriana were there a few weeks before us. And they braved the high seas to make it to Kosi Chang. And I think they just barely made it. But they would also have seen this church, local church, pretty much just Thai people and our missionary friends that have helped to establish that church and raised up a leader there and go every so often and just do workshops with them and Bible studies. And this church, they're about, say, 30-odd members and or so on. They fellowship and eat together every night. Every night. Without fail. You know, and that's something awesome. They understand something of family. And they've become family. Obviously, that environment is maybe lending itself more to that, more conducive, because they're surrounded by, you know, 99% Buddhists wherever they go. And I mean, you know, when you become a believer, as a believer walking through Thailand, you know that is a completely different kingdom right there. You know, it's even difficult to understand each other, complete different set of values. And it's just difficult to communicate or to feel part, you know, not that you're feeling part of what's happening there, but you know what I mean. And so the believers have gravitated towards each other, but they don't have to eat together every night, but they do. And they value family. They value that spiritual unity that they have. In the natural family that we've spoken about before, you know, we share DNA. And we share the same name, and we look similar, and all of these things. You know, we are. You can see there's a oneness there. But as a spiritual family, we are one in the spirit. Husband and wife, in the natural, they connect. They connect body, soul, and spirit on three levels. The most important of which is spirit. As a church, as the body of Christ, we connect in the spirit. We are one in the spirit. And that is the most important. So we share a very intimate and a very deep bond. And our common denominator is Jesus Christ. He's the head. He's the one who brings us together as a family. I know it gives me and Charlene great joy when we see Christian and Esther playing together and giving each other hugs and being kind to each other. I think it's very sad for a parent if their children are fighting with each other. You know, we had a situation last year where, you know, I had to almost do like family counseling with this whole family. And these are all adults. And the elderly mother was so upset because her daughters were fighting with each other to the point where they almost don't want to talk to each other. I mean, that really brings grief to a parent's heart. And you can imagine how the Lord almost must feel, because he would feel like 100 times worse when his own children, his children that he paid so dearly for and that he created to experience his love and share his love, where they don't want to talk to each other or where they don't bother, you know, coming together and celebrating him as the Father. You know, and that's the kind of division that you find in the body of Christ today. That's a big stumbling block for many unbelievers. Is that they see, well, supposedly we're all worshiping the same God, we teach out of the same Bible, but we can't sit around the campfire together. You know, We're fighting about what it says there. You don't, it's not as apparent in Islam and Buddhism and these other big religions. But Christianity, there seems to be so much division, so many splinter groups, so many offenses that come in. You know, increasing trend of house church movements and all of these things. You know, everyone wants to do their own thing. And it's very difficult. How do we project a united front to the world? How do we say that God is one when we as His children are scattered all over the place and we cannot even sit around the fire and talk about things? So we really need to trust God for work, but it starts in our own hearts and it starts in our own church. And then we can take it further than that, you know. And it's great. I feel in Table View we are making progress, or there are ministers and fraternals that really seek to work together and to pray together and to bless one another and to share resources. And so there is progress, one feels, but we need to accelerate the program. And it starts here. So the Lord has destined us and ordained us to stick together. Next scripture in Hebrews 10:25. We mustn't neglect to meet together. That's the very popular verse that we quote, as is the habit of some, but rather encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We all say, a lot of churches will say, you know, what is it now? How many chapters are in Acts? Like, we're an Acts 27 church or whatever. If there's 26 chapters in Acts, you know. We're continuing the book of Acts. You know, we want to get back to the church of Acts. And that's actually a sad indictment on the church. Because that is where we started. We meant to have progressed in 2,000 years. But we haven't really. Because Acts is still like way up there. And what does the scripture clearly says? That we ought to be coming together more often, encouraging each other more and more. Because right now we are 2,000 years closer to the return of Christ than what the church in Acts was. We don't know when Christ is coming back, but what we do know as a fact is that we're more or less 2,000 years closer to His return, and we should be meeting together more often, encouraging each other more than the church in Acts. And the church in Acts pretty much got together every day. They were pretty committed to church family. In fact, they would sell everything that they had and pool it together for the cause of Christ, to promote the kingdom. This is how committed they were. This is how tight they were. The apostles were given to Bible study and prayer, and they appointed people to look after the poor, and the church was functioning. And we even have the example of Ananias and Sapphira that dropped down dead because they withheld and they lied about it. Their hearts were not woven together, and I'm glad we have that example. You know, only the Lord knows if He's with them now or not. Let Him be the judge. But we have that as an example of how serious family is to the Lord and the cohesion that we're meant to demonstrate to the world out there. We need to come together. We need to start living outside of the box and outside of our comfort zones. You know, we need to be able to start knocking on each other's door at any time and say, look, I've got this situation. Won't you stand with me in faith? Well, let's pray together now. That is real family. Or, you know, help me out here. Whatever the case may be, we need to be there for each other. We need to be as family is. Our family in the natural is meant to be our starting point. Because I know that I share a deeper connection with many of you than what I do with my own sisters that are flesh and blood. Because I can actually talk to you. We understand each other. We share the same conviction, the same joy that the Lord has filled us with. My sisters as yet do not have that. I pray they will have that soon. But what we have is more profound, is deeper, runs deeper. And so we can be there for each other even more than our natural families. And that's great. And that will provoke our natural families to jealousy. And they say, but I also want that. Then we can show that all you're missing is Jesus. And there's nothing you have to do. You just have to put your faith in Him. You know, and let the body of Christ grow. Let the church of Jesus Christ come like that. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, says that we are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. Living stones. Think of the bricks in your house or your flat. And aren't you so grateful in this cold winter that your bricks aren't going AWOL? That you wake up in the morning with this icy draft, and you look behind you, and then the bricks of your bedroom are just disappeared and the wind is blowing in. I'm pretty glad that the nature of bricks dictates that they stay stuck. Okay? And we are meant to stay stuck. Jesus refers to himself as the cornerstone in Scripture, the one that holds the house together, holding the two walls together and anchoring that whole house. And you know what's inherent to that is that all the other bricks are together as well and stuck together. Okay, the Lord wants a house of which he's the head, the cornerstone, keeping everything together. You know, he's the cement between us. But guess what? He inherent to that is that as bricks, we stay stuck together. The Lord wants us to be together. Not only to be attached to him, but to be attached to each other. He wants that. This is how the world will know that we are his disciples. This is how the world will know that God exists. This is the mark of the church. It's love. It's a connection. It's a bond. We cannot say we love each other if we never show that. We cannot show it if we never come together. Love is a choice that leads to an action. We've got to be together. You cannot say you love Jesus Christ if you are completely isolated and cut off from the body of Christ. There's something wrong there. And quite recently we've met such a man. And it's sad. And we can pray for these people and we can challenge them, but come back. We can point out to them, but this is not God's heart and his plan for you. You need the body of Christ. Even in nature we've got countless examples. How do the lions and the predators catch their prey? You know, they isolate, they pick on the vulnerable and the weak, but they isolate, they get one of them away from the rest of the pack. Then they attack. And this is how the enemy works. He's like a roaring lion. And he's a coward and he goes for the vulnerable and he will isolate people and then he'll take them out. And we've seen it too many times. You know, and most of the time when people stay away from church, so there's something wrong. There's something wrong there. We need to go after them. What did Jesus do? How important is family to Jesus and togetherness? He would leave the 99 and he will go after the one sheep. It's important. We need to go after those prodigals. And we know many of them. Some of them are colleagues or family. We need to go after them with a greater fervency because the day of the Lord is drawing near. It's nearer than what it ever has been. Tomorrow morning, if we wake up, if the Lord has not come back yet, what we can know is that we're one day closer to seeing him. And people out there need to know that people are living as though he's never going to come back. We need to realize he is coming back. We need to get that urgency. We need to realize that it's important for us. 1 Corinthians 12. Been referring to this analogy all night, the church as the body of Christ. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Fast forward to verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. One part suffers, every part suffers with it. One part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. Okay, we are a part of the body of Christ. We are members of this body. If one of us suffers, we should all suffer. There's, you know, we can carry each other through. We can help carry each other's burdens. You know the saying, many hands make light work. That is so true. We saw We met a man in Thailand. Our first stay over was on Koh Phangan Island in the south. So that was about almost a 3-day journey to get there by plane, train, bus, and boat. I mean, literally everything. And we walked the last 20 meters. So, but we show that picture there. Okay, these are some of the first believers on the island. And the island is, it's not too big. It's only inhabited about 30% of the coastline on the one side, which equates to about 30 kilometers stretch. And 5 years ago, there was only 30 believers. Today, there's 300 believers out of 10,000 inhabitants. So the church is really starting to grow. And I love church there, island church. Obviously, the weather is very temperate, except now in monsoon time, where it will flood to about this high all over the island. And you can't actually, you're trapped in your house. So you better make sure that you've been to the local 7-Eleven. So that you can stock up on supplies, because you cannot leave your house unless you maybe have a little boat or something. But church is open. There's churches right at the beach. They've just got some pillars and a roof. It's open and on the street as well. So people can, everyone else, as they're going past, they can see exactly what's going on. And you know, I can imagine that they've had a couple of walkthrough customers. We're going to give you still feedback probably at the end of this month. We'll give you a proper feedback of the outreach, and we just want to thank you for praying for us. We certainly did experience God's hand every day on our outreach, and it was really amazing. And those people, they have faith. They've got faith for miracles. The saying on the island is among the believers, expect a miracle every day. You know, today, expect a miracle. That's what they say to each other when they greet each other. Today, expect a miracle. I think that's awesome. You know, and a lot of the Buddhists, or most from what we've heard, that come to faith in Jesus Christ have done so because of being healed miraculously after a believer has prayed for them. You know, where they can actually recognize, wow, you know, God is really there and there's one God. Because you can tell a Buddhist till you're blue in the face about Jesus. In Eastern culture, you can hold on to more than one religion at the same time, which makes it difficult to evangelize. But you trust God for that power encounter as well. They need it. So there has been a lot of miracles. There's been 3 resurrections from the dead amongst these believers in the last 5 years. So God is doing big things there. But now what I want to share with you, and the lovely illustration that we have, and unfortunately I couldn't get a picture of him, but the man behind the fan, his name is Chan. Okay, all of that rhymes, but it's for real. Okay, Chan, they just finished a Bible study, and I mean, these churches, they do Bible study sort of most nights of the week, I think, because they don't have a rest day in Thailand. They work 7 days a week. And we had just finished children's church to the right here. And it was our first night on the island. It was really awesome. And just hearing the story about Chan, the man behind the fan. Now, he was an alcoholic. And then the Lord saved him and, you know, brought him into the church. And it's such an amazing testimony of church family and being there for one another. You know, I haven't heard a story like that in a while. It's really awesome what they did, because he was an alcoholic, and he had a problem because his drinking buddies would come to his house to drink. And they didn't mind that, you know, he has found the Lord now and everything. So what the church family did is every night he came to the church or to one of the believers' homes, and the whole church would gather there. And they would fellowship and eat together every night until these drinking buddies stopped going to his house. And it was about 3 months or something like that, say, Ralph. So about 3 months, the whole church would come together every night to spend with Chan so that he would not get drawn back into his old ways and into drinking again. And so eventually, after 3 months, the drinking buddies gave up on him and he could actually sort of return home after work. But I think that's really awesome. You know, and that's a new believer, someone they don't even know, and they just immediately, well, he became part of the family and precious enough to sacrifice that time every night. You know, and so that is the seed that I'm trusting the Lord to deposit. Like, that we'd get a revelation and God would do a work in our hearts, something in that line. And there's an aspect of family life in church and a love for our spiritual family that the Lord would deposit in our hearts. You know, they say the things of God, Pastor Fred said this, the things of God are only as powerful in your life as what they are precious to you. And I really trust that things of the kingdom will become more and more precious to us. And you know what? We will reap the benefit and the blessing from that. So, just wanted to bless you with that. And, you know, I'll pray just now. We can pray about that. But we had a word through our intercessors, and they're in the baby room as well. But this morning we prayed, and I'd like to do so tonight again for the ladies, the women and the children, and particularly the mommies and the pregnant ladies and those that are wanting to be pregnant, that the Lord will really come in and just raise up a standard where the enemy has been trying to come in and has come in instances. The enemy has come in like a flood, that the Lord would raise a standard. And we just feel that the Lord just asks of us this act of obedience, where as the men, we can surround the women. And so I'm going to ask you in a second that all the women come and stand here and in a tight little huddle. And us as men, we're going to stand and take hands around the women. We're just going to pray God's blessing and protection over our women and children. Because, you know, the enemy has really tried to steal in this area, you know, and there's, you know, been people just struggling to conceive. There's been miscarriages and all these kind of things. And it's really, that's not of God. You know, that's the enemy coming in. And that's us as a church have a responsibility. We know when we dedicate babies and we say it, we don't always really do it. Where we say, you know, it's the whole church's responsibility to raise a child in the ways of the Lord. And it's our responsibility as a church to protect the members of the church and the women and the children. The enemy is a coward and he always goes after the vulnerable. Who more vulnerable than a pregnant woman? You know, and so we're not going to stand for that. We're going to establish a hedge of protection around our women and children. We're not just going to pray tonight. We're going to continue praying, because, you know, the enemy has tried to do that in the past with Jesus, you know, and Herod trying to go after him, and with Moses and Pharaoh. And we're not going to stand for it. We know the enemy's tactics, and the Lord keeps us. He wants to keep us ahead of the enemy. So maybe, Nico, if you can call Simone as well. Thanks. And then we're just going to, if the ladies can start coming up, and the gentlemen, and we're going to just intercede and stand in the gap for the ladies. So all the ladies. If you're a mommy, or you want to be a mommy, or you're a lady, you stand in the middle, okay? And the gents, we're going to stand around you. And we're going to take up our position in the spirit as men of valor.